Today we're continuing with a sermon series entitled No Future in This World, and this is part three. As it has been stated, again, we have no future in this world. We really don't. And the more we grasp where we're headed, the more we understand, believe, comprehend, in that respect, what God is doing, where we are in time, what is ahead of us, what's getting ready to take place in this world. Some things we don't know the exact timing of, obviously. But a certain timing, we have a general outline that God is giving us more and more. And that should sober us to realize there is no future in this world. Everything you have saved aside in your different retirement programs, everything that you have planned to have in the future, you're not going to have. It's not going to be there. All that you might have as far as anything that's in the bank, as far as anything that's in stocks, especially stocks, that'll be one of the first to take a plunge. Everything you have one day is going to be fully wiped out. So it might be some wisdom in some cases to liquidate. That's up to you. But there's going to come a day when you don't have that choice. You know, if it matter be a matter of selling certain things, my wife and I were talking about the other day, certain things we're going to start getting rid of. You know, put on the internet more and more just to get rid of it. Liquidate. We have no need for it. You know, if we can do something with it as far as the church, as far as the work is concerned, as far as we go along here, great. Some things we're going to need for ourselves if we can set aside a little bit, great. Okay? But you can't take it with you. There are certain things that are going to disappear in value quickly. And there's going to come a point in time where you can't even liquidate before all this happens. I hope we understand that. There's going to come a point in time where you can't even liquidate. If you understand what I'm talking about, and those of you who need to liquidate or would want to know what I'm talking about. There's coming a point in time where you won't even be able to do that. By the time that some decide to, it's going to be too late. Just the way it is. So, again, it's good to think in those terms of where we are. Say, that's why I made some very strong comments about the feast and about being a minister, about being your pastor. Because I know, I feel, you know, just like everything else that's ever been given. I'm pointing to the picture of the book up here, a letter we're going to send out to everyone that was on that received the first book, an invitation to get the second book. And we have the cover of that. So if some of you here in Detroit want to look at that, you can look at it afterwards. But again, this is where we are. And when those things begin to happen in the world, this is everything I'm geared toward. This is everything my wife is geared toward. This is everything I know a lot of you are gearing more and more toward. And it's a reality now of where we are that is striking us more and more. And everything in messages as we go along, everything is geared toward what we are headed toward quickly, fast. And that can be a little unnerving, I know, because I've been living through it. But the more you see it, the more it's a part of your mind. It's just a way of life, like everything else has been with us. So again, very, very sobering to understand that you have no future in this world. You can't even plan 5 years ahead anymore. 5 and 10 years ahead, you can't even do it anymore. That's what we used to teach in the church as a whole. What does that mean? Oh, retirement programs, different things, college, whatever it might be. Everyone should strive, especially young people, to learn, to grow, to prepare like you would if things were to go on in this world, because the education is available here and now. This is not a time to stop. This is not a time to rest. This is not a time to sit back and just wait for it until it happens. This is a time to push forward. If you're getting an education, put more into it, because you don't have much time to get much more. You know, you're taking 15 hours, think about 17. I'm just kidding a little bit. If you 15 hours is a load, but drive yourselves. Push yourselves to whatever you're doing. In other words, if you have to take 15 hours in a semester, those of you going to college, that's generally a rule of thumb. You have to have at least that much as a whole to be a full-time student. This is not the time to pull back and take 6 or 7. Think, well, you know, things are about to end. I might as well slow down a little bit. This is not the time to slow down. If you slow down in your thinking in those things, you're going to slow down in everything else in your thinking spiritually. You're not going to be alert and on guard and watchful like you should be. This is the time to press forward, all of you, like you never have before. Occupations, jobs, we need to push forward in what we're doing. We truly do. There's much to be learned by that, by pressing forward, by putting a prod on yourself, by using all that you can muster in your mind and in your being to run this final part of a race. So all this should sober us to the core of our being, especially when we come to grasp again the reality that we have only a couple of years in front of us once this book is published, that we'll no longer be able to worship God as we do today. You're not going to be able to do it anymore. So let's pick up where we left off last Sabbath. We were covering scriptures in 1 Corinthians and had come to chapter 11. And I ask that you read these verses in chapter 11 to see what you could get out of what Paul was saying. So let's pick up there today where we left off last Sabbath. This is a very hard-hitting sermon series. And I'm very, very pleased in the response that I've been getting back from people everywhere, that people that are commenting, whether by email or on telephone or whatever. I'm not used to this. I'll be real candid with you. And yet I'm excited and I'm inspired by it. And I want to pass it along to the church because my experience with the church in times past primarily has been one that when you have this kind of a strong sermon series, that there are those who become deeply offended and cannot respond and cannot do what they need to do, and on the contrary, become more deeply embittered and eventually leave. That's been my experience in God's church for so many years. And it is so good to see the kind of response that people have today of one of, no, I want to be supportive. I want to change. If there are things I need to see in my life, then I want to see them. You know, and that's the attitude out there. The individual I mentioned last Sabbath about the tithes. Sometimes we don't realize we say things off the cuff that we have maybe a habit or a way of doing certain things, and we, you know, don't take the time perhaps to think about something. Perhaps that we say to a mate or to a person at work or to another brother in the church, and we let it come out of our mouth before we've had time to think about it. Especially if there's something we've heard or whatever that maybe agitates us a little bit, rather than taking and praying about it like we need to first, you know, so that we can come back and deal with it better. Well, we learn lessons from that. And this individual is fully behind, you know, excited, inspired, learned a bit of a lesson there, you know, like we all are through all this. There's not a one of us right now through this series that shouldn't be learning some things and being repenting toward God about some of the things where we have let down. Because every one of us here today, including myself, have let down in different areas of our life. We have started doing a little coasting, perhaps. And not a one of us can afford to do that. On the contrary. You know, that's kind of an interesting thing. I can't help but thinking about races because they're as vivid in my mind almost as the day I ran them. I think of some of those are in Brickett Wood and some of those in Big Sandy, some of those races when we got together with other colleges and universities around there in the area. And, well, not universities, just colleges because they were smaller. But anyway, they might as well have been universities. as fast as some of them were. But I think back, and I think back about that. There's a point in time before you finally put in your final kick. There's a point in time where you are kind of coasting. You get into a certain stride, but there's that point just before the end where you are really, your body's crying out, and you are tired, and you kind of, your body wants to let down a little bit, and you might give into that in some races just a little bit, and then all of a sudden you realize this is it. You kick it in. This is not the time to do that. You have to fight your mind. And that's what we have to do. You have to fight your mind. If we understand where we are and what we're doing and the seriousness of the timing involved here, we have to fight our mind and the pulls that are out there and a spirit world that wants to pull you in a different direction. This is the time to kick it in. This is the time to push forward more than ever before and to realize, you know, looking back right now, I realize I could have kicked it in a little sooner than this. You understand what I'm saying? I could have kicked it in a little sooner than this, and I've been holding back. And because I've been holding back, I've been letting down a little bit. It's in the mind. Okay. On the contrary, we should be more stirred up than ever before, desiring to draw closer to God more than ever before, and now putting everything into it. We are fully committed. And that's the exciting thing in the body right now. I've never seen it in the church like this, where the body is as fully committed as it is, and of one mind. I am in awe some of the conversation we had yesterday, and then afterwards up the Watsons, and then my wife and I were talking on the way back and thinking about different areas we've been in, and we see this, the mind that God has given to all of us to be able to see things at the same time, to be able to be of the same mind, the kind of unity that is within the church. It's a powerful thing, and when you see that, and the more you see those things, the more you see God in it, because there's no way we could do this. There's no way an organization, a group of people could do anything like this. It's something that God is doing. You know, the unity, the oneness we have in doctrine, the oneness we have of the same mind. I hope you realize how powerful that is, because that is something that God has to give. And the more we desire that, and the more we want that, the more God will grant that to us. And the more exciting it becomes. The greater Feast of Tabernacles we can have this year spiritually. The greater Feast of Tabernacles we'll be able to experience together spiritually. The more we are growing spiritually, the stronger we are spiritually. And that should be exciting to all of us. You know, God's way of life should stir us up inside. And that should be like the adrenaline you have in a race in the final part. And you think you can't do anymore? The reality is you can. We can. And with God's Spirit and God's mind and God's help, He's giving us that. He's offering that to us to have greater strength here at the end. So that when we are launched into, if you will, that last 3.5 years, you're going to be able to do it spiritually in your mind. You're going to be able to go through it successfully and powerfully with God's Spirit, no matter where you are, no matter what situation you have before you. And that's exciting. That's inspiring to me, to realize we can be out here in the midst of it all. And it can be just like the times we read about in Scriptures, the favor that God gives, the favor that God gave to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the power that's there in those kinds of difficult times. We'll have those kinds of things with us. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." You know, in other words, is this from Christ? Is it from God? Then we'd better follow it and we'd better do it. We better put our entire being into it, make sure that we hear every word, and knowing indeed that it comes from God. That's why I think there is nothing more meaningful and more powerful than you can hold close to your being than the series of sermons we had when we went through and talked about the 18 truths, the truths revealed during Laodicea, and those truths we believe that are prophesied, that we believe are going to come to pass. Those are the things, the truth that comes from God, the Spirit that comes from God that gives us the truth. The more those truths are deeply embedded within us, the more confidence and boldness you will have. Because you know there is no other way that you can see those and know those so clearly, and like a hand that fits in a glove so perfectly, and the Word of God that fits together so well, so absolutely perfectly in every way that God has given to us, you know that it comes from God. And that gives you boldness and strength and power. It truly does. You're going to need those things as you continue to go forward. "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I've delivered them to you." I'd request and say the same thing as God's servant, that as I follow Christ and have been following Christ, that you do the same things, that you follow Christ, but follow me in that process, knowing how God is working through me. That's the way God works. And we have that kind of confidence because of what's been given to us, because it's a matter of seeing God in the picture. It's not about individuals and human beings. It's about God and what God does. And so he says, keep the tradition, the precepts of the law, in other words. So somehow that has to be given to us. And just like this difficult series in one respect, it's being given to us because it's something that God is giving to us to help us to see how we can do things better and more pleasing to Him, so that He can give us more strength and power and might in our lives, because He desires to do that. And the closer we draw to God, the more we clean up our lives, the more we seek to be sanctified and set apart in our lives, cleansed, purified, washed thoroughly, the more God can give to us. And we're entering into a time where He just wants to give more to us. You see? He desires to give us more. But if we hold back, He can't give us more. If pride gets in the way, He can't give us more. If some point in time where we resist Him gets in the way, He can't give us more. The less committed we are, the less He's able to give us. It is a law. It is a way that God works and the power that God's Spirit works in our life. The more we yield to Him, the more powerful it is. The more powerful it is. "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, And the head of Christ is God. Is there order? Is there order in the universe? Is there order in the kingdom of God? Even within the embryo, the church of God? Absolutely. There's order and there's a way that God works. And some many have misused things like this in the church. Husbands over their wives, you know, beat them up with that. Not understanding, you know, my wife and I joke about this, or when we think about sermons on marriage, every sermon I've ever started to give in marriage, and I say I'm going to give a sermon series, I never get to the wives. I have never gotten to the wives and given a sermon for wives, because I always start with a man, because that's where the responsibility is. And I never really go any farther, because there's not any point. If the man will do his job and do what God tells him to do, everything else will fall into place, if both are seeking God, truly. And even if the other mate weren't, as a whole, it's going to be a whole lot better marriage and life. You know what God says? Husbands, love your wives. And if you love the way God says, with a sacrificing kind of love, everything you do is going to be desired to please her, to serve her in life. How much farther do you need to go in a sermon on that? If a husband does that, sacrifices, that's what Jesus Christ did for us, for the church. He loved us so much so that he sacrificed his life. That's the kind of love. That's what it talks about back in Ephesians. That if you do that, if you have that kind of love, then there's no need. Now, there may be occasion in life, and it's a small thing. There may be small occasions in life. And with my wife and I, those are very rare. Where it may come a time where a decision has to be made, where maybe we aren't in agreement. Everything we do in life as a whole, basically, if we don't agree about a matter or something we want to do, we just don't do it. Until we're in agreement, and then we do that. And life is richer that way. Life is better that way. Life is fulfilling that way. We enjoy it immensely. I think about how people rob themselves in life because they don't think that way. See? And so very rarely does a husband have to make a decision and say, no, this is something we have to do, because there's some times when things have to be decided. They might be about finances, something else, but a decision has to be made. And so a husband has to say, no, this is what we're going to do. And that's it. And that's what you do. If it's in God's way of life and it's agreement with God, that's what we do. Just like in the church. We don't have the ability of having a lot of ideas about what we're going to do and not do in the things I'm giving in this sermon series. Somebody has to make a choice in certain matters. In dress, in grooming, whatever it might be. In what we might call the smaller things in life. And they are. And boy, once you learn about the smaller things in life, you know, it's like in prayers. I've talked about this oftentimes. Ask God to be a part of smaller things. Because if you don't include Him in the smaller things of your life, and you only use Him and want Him, see, that's using, because that's how we do it as human beings. Use Him in the bigger things. That's using God. That's what human beings do as a whole. You go to God when something big happens. Oh, now I need you. Now I want to talk to you. Now I want to come before you and want you to be a part of my life. But in the smaller things, you don't have to be a part of it. Well, I don't want to bother God. That's not a matter of bothering God. It's a relationship. It's like families. You know, you should be close. You should be able to, at any time, be able to converse with each other and talk to each other. That line should always be open whenever you need to or desire to use it. See? And so in the smaller things of life, see, you go and you share it with God. And so little things that we do and how we do it have a great deal to do with how we think then when we come to the big things. A lot of people have the concept of mind that, oh, when it comes to the real challenge or the real big things or the big sins, then we'll fight with that one. And we don't fight with little ones, and we sin, and we have these little meager, what we call little... That's like Catholics in purgatory. Because the little sins, people are caught in there, and they can't get out. We'll never get through the series if I keep going like this, but there's so much in God's Word and God's way of life of how we're to live, what we're to do, and how we're to do it. And if a husband and a wife live a right kind of relationship toward each other, you know, authority in that respect is never a question. I'm not concerned about authority that comes from God, that comes from Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of whether it's an issue or not, it's just there. It's the way it is. And if something is said, that's what we should strive and want to do. It's not a matter of any competition or anything bad or anything like that. Verse 4, every man, going on, I guess back up here in verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head, dishonors Christ. But every woman that prays or prophesies, having her head uncovered, dishonors her head. So it gets into something very physical here. It's an amazing thing here, what God does. He gets into something physical here that teaches some things that are spiritual. And that's the way life is. There are things that happen to us physically that teach things that are spiritual. So every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head, Christ. And so he gets down to something as simple and as basic as hair, as the length of your hair on your head. That's an amazing thing. Because you see, it's our attitude toward every little thing in life that we want to do toward God that reflects, it's not just the big things that happen in life, it's everything in life. And the more cognizant we are of God in every aspect of our life, the more meaningful life is in a relationship with God. The closer that relationship can be. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head, Christ. And it has to do with something as basic as hair. So if a man lets his hair grow too long, God is using this to teach us something. And he's saying, if you do something and come before me, and something even small like this, you can dishonor me because you don't do even in the small things. If you don't, and that's something we don't understand sometimes as human beings. If you're not watching the small things, you're really not watching the big things like you should because you don't have the ability to spiritually. It's just not there. Excuse me, it's just not there. And then it goes on, it says, but every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. And so it's using an example here. If a woman lets her hair get too short in life, because God created us to look a certain way. And man and a powerful being out there wants to change that. Because he knows even in those things, he wants to get at God. Even within the church. Even more so within the church. So there are things that are affected within society that he tries to turn everything away from God. But every woman that prays or prophesies, what does that mean? Or prophesies? There are things all of us do when we have conversation, when we talk to one another. We all should be able to talk about the things we know and understand within the church. When we talk to each other, when we communicate with each other, there are times in our fellowship that we discuss our own personal lives, but some of our conversation and some of the most inspiring part of our conversation has to do with this way of life and what we're learning and where we're going and what God is doing. And so there are things that you understand and know that you're able to talk about with one another. And this is what it's talking about. Because at times like that, the closer you are to God, the more inspiring your conversation can even be with one another. Because God is in it. God wants to be in that kind of conversation with you. If you're looking to God to be in conversation with you and your relationship with one another, and you're talking about Him and His way of life, He gives you help so that things are clearer in your mind, so that they're inspiring to you, both men and women. See? It's not something just for a minister. A minister, his use is different for the sake of preaching. But the things we're all a part of within the church, if we understand it spiritually, we all have that kind of conversation with one another if we are yielding to God's Spirit. And so this is what it's talking about. When we talk about God and God's way of life and we're sharing that with one another, it's exciting. And so we're able to discuss things amongst one another. After we hear sermons, I hear conversations back on a regular basis of things people have discussed with each other, or during the week that's exciting to them of what they have learned and something maybe that they've talked about that week before that made the sermon come alive even more. And that's what it's talking about. It's talking about God's way of life. There are things you understand in prophecy even, specifically, of things that where we are in time, what's getting ready to happen, that others in the world don't see and don't understand. And so you're able to talk about those things, all those truths I just talked about a moment ago. that we had a sermon series of before we came to this point in time even. The 18 truths, the truths revealed during Laodicea, and those that are prophesied that we believe as though they were, that we know are going to be. And we all discuss those things. And if we discuss those things with one another, we talk about those things from time to time, and God's Spirit is in us, then God's Spirit flows more through us in times like that and stirs us up and excites us in our conversation with one another. And we can have that kind of spiritual conversation even with one another. You know, it's good to talk about physical things, and it's good to talk about spiritual, meaning about God and about God's church and what's going on and what God's teaching us and so forth. And so this is what it's talking about. But every woman that prays, in other words, goes before God or prophesies, in other words, is having conversation with other people in the church, you don't have in the world as a whole, unless sometimes even there are people do. And God inspires you. Scriptures come to mind you never thought about, or examples you've heard, and you're able to talk to someone else because God's doing something with them. And so something, a door is opened up to visit with someone else, whatever it might be. But especially amongst ourselves, God's Spirit's in that. It should be obviously in that. But it says here, every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. And so it's talking about something as simple as something physical in your life that can affect what you know, what you think, how you think, what you see spiritually, how God looks upon what you're doing, whether or not He will be in it with you or not. Every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, what does that mean? It's talking about physical hair. It's talking about physical hair length. Something as simple and as basic in life as hair. God wants us to understand that we should do everything to His honor and glory. Everything that He shows us in life should be to the glory and the honor of God. Even in something as simple and basic as this. How much more simple and basic can we get? And so He uses that to show something. God inspired Paul to give this to the church, to give this to us. So anyone that prays like this or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. In other words, if her head, meaning her hair length, it has to do with the hair length, is not what it should be, that can dishonor God. Isn't that amazing? And a man, if he have too long a hair, that dishonors God. Both can dishonor God. And if we dishonor God, you know what? God's Spirit can't live and dwell within us like it should. Because if we cut Him off and we won't obey Him in the small things, you can take it to the bank that we don't in the big things either. In the time of the crunch, when we generally think that's when we really shine, that's when we're going to be in big trouble. If we're not faithful in little things, take it to the bank. You are not and cannot be, because it's a spiritual matter. Be faithful in the bigger things. We just think we are. Look at all the churches scattered out there that think they are honoring God, that are fully dishonoring God. Everyone who is scattered, who is not listening to sermon today or listening to the Church of God, PKG, is outside the body of Christ. Everyone is outside the body of Christ right now. They are cut off from the Spirit of God. God has brought us to this point in time. Wouldn't have said that a few years ago, because we weren't to that point. We are now. But every woman that prays and prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, dishonors her husband, dishonors Christ, and dishonors the Father, because that's her head. It's the way God has organized it within the body, just as much as, you know, as far as a ministry. At this time, God has made me the head under Jesus Christ. For that is the same as if she were shaved. You know, in other words, if the hair gets too short, God says, just go ahead and take a razor to it, because it's the same thing. And if we can't get the picture from that, then we are really down the tubes. We have really slid so far that we just can't even begin to get it there. So see, usually that way would shake us up. Yeah. So even in something as simple as hair length, God says we can learn from it. So He said, for if the woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. And this gets into some things a little bit more so spiritually and physically. It has to do with an attitude of mind toward God's government, towards God's way, towards how God's Spirit works in our life. And this is not even the primary thrust of why we're going into some of this yet, but I'm just touching some things as an aside as we go along here. So does appearance have a bearing on how we worship God? How we come before God? Whether we want to honor God? Does it have something to do with even our minds? Brethren, I hope we can see that it does. That's why I've talked about the need that men need to have ties. And it can be, I can't think of the name of that one tie. What's the name of the Western? Bola? You've got one. What is it? Bola? How do you spell it? I'm not sure either. another individual asked me that here recently, and it's fine. You know, it's more of a Western type of dress. That's fine. As long as, you know, it's dressed up, it's the same as having something like a tie on our neck. It's just a different type of tie. You know, it's more of a Western design. That's fine. But we seek to honor and to please God, to serve God, to dress up before God. Those things are important in life. And if we let down those things, even in our homes, you know what happens? You can't help it with the physical mind. You let down. And it's like running that race. If you're running a race, and you get to a point where you just kind of let down and you start backing off because it's just hard and woe is me and or whatever. No, that's a time to pick up the pace when you see the finish line. And I hope we see the finish line. You are almost there. What an incredible thing to think of all people on earth that we're the ones at the end of 6,000 years. We're living at this time. We have 2 years in front of us where we can come together and worship before God and come to Sabbath services. Maybe. And maybe not. I don't know exactly at what point, because God hasn't shown that you aren't going to have the ability to listen in, to have a telephone in your particular area, wherever you might live. Some of you may be able to in the States, and others may not be able to in certain part of the States. But you're coming to a time where no one here will be able to in the States to listen, to hear what God has to give. Say, we are so close. We are so close. It is such an incredible thing. And we do it totally as a matter of faith. Totally as a matter of faith in God's Spirit. So does appearance have a bearing on how we worship God? Small thing, isn't it? But it's our mind. It's our attitude. What about hair for both men and women? Yeah, amazing. Something as simple and as small as that. There seem to be some who have a battle with a unisex look. I want us to clean up our lives in every aspect. Because if we're not looking at the little things, take it to the bank. You're not doing it in the big things. We tend to think the opposite. We think we're doing the big things. You're not doing it right spiritually. If you're not watching the small things you do in life, you are not on guard and alert spiritually like you should be for the big things. On the contrary, you will deceive yourselves like everyone else who is not a part of PKG. They think they're serving God. They think they're honoring God. They're meeting together today on the Sabbath day. They're listening to sermons. And they are cut off from God. Fully cut off from God until they're brought to a point of repentance and awakened out of a spiritual sleep that they're deeply in at this time. And until they're able to be awakened out of that sleep. So where do you want to be spiritually with God? See, because you can be part of listening to this sermon and not hear this sermon. It's what we drink in and what we live in our life in that we receive from it that determines where we are spiritually. So again, we need to clean up our lives in the small things as well, what we might call the small things, because they're everything. The more refined you are in your vision, the stronger you can become spiritually. We don't tend to think that way as human beings, but we need to more and more, especially now. Fellas, boys, and men, you should look masculine, not effeminate, not long hair. And if it's borderline, get it taken care of. Don't try to mix in with the world. Don't care about the world right now. Do what you've got to do that's right. Women and girls, your hair should be of a length and style that is feminine and not butch or some other faddish look that is not clearly feminine. And sometimes we begin to look like that and we need to be careful. And there's a difference. You know, there's one thing of having shorter hair, but it being feminine. There are different types of butch looks, and I hope you, well, if you don't know the word, don't worry about it. But if you know what it means, you need to worry about it if the hair is short, because it doesn't honor God. It doesn't glorify God. We should not care about what the world thinks of us. We should care about what God thinks of us. It's about an attitude, and this is what it boils down to. It's an attitude toward God. And it reveals and reflects the small things, the little things you do in life, reflect more fully where you are in your thinking toward your God. They truly do. It's not the big things. Because if the little things aren't there, you're already off base in the big things. You're already out there with church that's scattered and cut off, asleep. Not a good place to be. Not a good place to be. So it's not a matter of where you fellowship. You can be in the right place of fellowship and not hear a thing spiritually. Does it happen? Yes. Every year people leave because that's where they are. They get cut off somewhere because of sins, because of other things, and they don't hear what you hear. If you're stirred up with God's Spirit, they can't hear the same thing. They don't know that they're leaving the church of God. Or they don't know that they're fighting against God and God's Spirit. They don't see that because that's what happens when you fall asleep. You can't hear anymore. You're asleep. Right. And if people have questions, go ahead and ask. It's the borderline stuff that has to go, even in that area, for men and women. So again, little things. Do we realize little things in life are important to God? That's why it's good to share in the little things with God, too. He wants to hear you. He wants to hear your desires for little things and the big things in life. Don't just think it has to be the big things. He wants to be a part of your life in everything you do. That's why prayer should bring in everything you're doing in your life before God. What you might consider to be too minor, too small for God. It's not. Don't limit God. Don't limit the power of God in your life to share with you. So there is no need to reading some of the following verses that do not pertain to the purpose of this particular sermon. So let's drop on down to verse 13. Judge for yourselves, is it comely, in other words, proper that a woman pray to God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man or boy have long hair, it's a shame to him? It's a shame. And this world has a tremendous impact sometimes on our thinking toward God. And brethren, I hope we understand that what we're talking about here is not a matter of hair by itself. That's not the big thing. It's showing that something as small as little as our attitude toward something like that in life, has everything to do with our attitude toward God. Because it has a rippling effect through our life. And everything we do from the moment we wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night, do you seek to do everything in your life that is pleasing to God, that we're watchful, that we don't let certain things come out of our mouth, like I mentioned last Sabbath about certain words, cursings that come out of our mouth, sometimes because the world uses it so much, certain words that I said certain ones if they're even used, let alone if anyone were to take God's name in vain, you shouldn't be in this body. You shouldn't have the opportunity to fellowship with this body. And if you use words that the world uses that have certain letters that they start with, we just shouldn't have them in our conversation, in our conduct, in our minds. And I've let down in some of those areas of my life. See, and if I told you a certain word or two that I'd let down in a little bit here or there when I slip and something happens, you know, you smash your finger with with the hammer, and a word just comes out of your mouth that starts with a C, R, A, and I'll leave the last word, letter to you. And some of you think, well, that's not a bad thing. I don't want it. I don't want that to be the response out of my mouth. And some of you use things that are a whole lot worse than that, that come out of your mouth. Clean up the garbage. You dishonor your God. You dishonor your head when you do those things. Don't we understand you're down to the wire 2 years to go? 2 years to go! And you use words around other brethren in God's church that start with F! That's why if I hear of any of you doing it, I will gladly tell you, don't ever come back. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't like to get worked up like that. But if you know where you are in time and you have the blessing to have what you have, to have a relationship with your God, and you have 30, 40,000 people out here who are cut off, who think they're serving God, and they can't even have the opportunity of having a relationship with God because they're asleep, and God awoke you from a spiritual sleep, and you have that opportunity, and you don't do what you should do, where do you think you are in time? So is there some chastening going on? You better believe it. And it's to me too, because I let down. Because if you let the little C word out, it isn't too long behind that, and you have the SH word right behind it. It's not too hard. And you let that go long enough, and it's not too long, and you have the FU word coming out of your stinking, rotten, filthy, dirty mouth and mind. Okay? Who are we? Do we honor our God? And yet, massively within the church of God, people have let down in these areas. How does that honor God? How does that please God? And what kind of patience has He shown us? To know that you only have 2 years left or less to come before God in Sabbath services? That you have been given an opportunity? Do you understand how small God's church is? To be a part of a remnant right now, that we're a tithe of 10% of a scattered. We're only a tithe of the 10%. Is that right? Yeah. We're not, there's 90% out there yet that's still going to come along above and beyond what we are at some point. Because that God says that, I believe it. And we're only a tithe of that. How small, how blessed are we to be sitting where we are today to hear what we hear. But we get lazy and we begin to dress in casual ways and we begin to let down in little ways and don't realize it's the little things. If we let down in the little things, you have already let down in the big things in your life. Do we understand the spiritual connection? Because I'm talking about something here that is spiritual by nature, not physical. God is crying out to us right now so we can be thrust into this remaining time that's in front of us so we can go through it successfully, so we can all be a part of it, so we can use this time wisely that we have before us. And if we really understand where we are, if we can truly see it, because your ability to see it is totally spiritual right now, totally spiritual. And if your ability to see it, and you see it, and you know where you are, you're going to want to run. You're going to want to run faster than what you are. You're going to want to begin to liquidate some things. It affects your physical life, your mental life, your spiritual life. And so do we treasure what God has given to us? Why me? I know I'm not worthy. None of us are. I'm just thankful for the grace and mercy that God has given to me. Because I think of people that are scattered, and it tears me up inside. People I've known by the hundreds. I know hundreds of ministers, let alone hundreds in the different churches who are scattered, who don't have the opportunity that I have. Who don't have the opportunity that you have. And they're a vessel to dishonor. I could have been a vessel to dishonor, but God, for whatever reasons, has chosen something different. But even I am not honoring God like I need to, so I'm repenting and seeking to change and become stronger zealously toward God because of what's in front of us, because of where we're going, because of what we've got in front of us to do. So do you think the little things in life, even the little C word that comes out of your mouth, you do something that happens to you and you just let it go? And do you think that spiritually, that if we're able to even watch those things, and the closer we watch even the smallest things of life, of conversation, that if I were to say this in the world, they'd just laugh at me. You're afraid to say that? You don't want to say that word?
Oh.
You know, the S word, what's so bad about that? You know, you do it every day. It's a part of life. It's okay to use it. No, it isn't. It doesn't honor my God. It doesn't honor Jesus Christ. It doesn't honor what He's given to us. I want to honor God. So I want to clean up everything in my life. I want things to be as clean as they can be. Be purified before God. So see, do we grasp the attitude toward the little things? That if our mind is so desirous of that, that the big things will fall into place. And if we're not doing it in the little things, you can't deal with the big things then, because you're not where you should be spiritually. It is a law. It is a law. It is a law. It is the law of God. It is the way it works. And the more we see that, the more we understand that, the better off we will be spiritually. So God loves us. I'm sorry I got as riled up as I did. But we need to understand, brethren, where we are. We need to understand what's going on. We need to understand the seriousness. We need to understand more deeply how blessed we are to have what we have. If you are awake, how awesome is that at this time? And to be a tithe of the 10% of a remnant, which is only a 10% of a third even. How blessed are we in all the earth? It's hard to see ourselves like different ones of old you read about in the Bible. Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Paul, Peter, John, and some of the different ones mentioned throughout Scripture. And you go back and look at Abraham and Sarah. Throughout the Bible, and different ones that are mentioned there. And we're no different? That's the way God looks upon us and desires that for us? How incredibly blessed are we? But the world has had a tremendous impact on us, and God's just letting us know that right now, now's the time to shake free. It's just, I wish that all of you had been in the kind of races I've been in. And if you've been in them, maybe you can relate to something else, like a race. Anyway, we need to grasp where we are. We need to grasp where we're going and be so thankful to God for the opportunity that's in front of us. And as I was saying, like in a race, if we have that experience to understand what it's like, I can almost feel it right now. When you get to that point where you kick it in, that's where God's wanting us to know this is it. This is that time in a race where this is the time to kick it in. Don't worry about anyone else around you. Don't worry about the rest of the world. You know, when you're running a race, you don't worry about, unless they're right in front of you. But this is a different kind of race. It's not a matter of competition between one another. We're all in this together. But you got to keep up there. You got to put it all out. It's individual. So this is the time to put everything into it. You don't have much time. We don't have much time in front of us. This is the time to put everything into the race that we have. This is the time to kick it all in. So now is the time to be sober to a reality that we don't want to drift. We don't want to just kind of pass the time that's in front of us away by just taking it easy, by relaxing. On the contrary, this is the time to throw yourself into it more, to focus more, to demand more of yourself in the sense of crying out to God, to ask for help, to demand more of yourself. Spiritually, everything you do, be geared, motivated toward God and finishing what He's placed before us. And what He's finishing before us is what's in you. That's what He wants finished. It's what's inside of you, what's working in you. That's exciting. It's inspiring to realize where we are and where we're going. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Judge for yourselves. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely, proper, that a woman pray to God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man or boy have long hair, it's a shame unto him? Small things. Isn't that amazing? I don't know that we grasp, brethren, how important small things are in our life, because they make up what we are. And we don't sometimes place enough importance on the small things in life and realizing how important that is before God. It's our mind. It's the way you think from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. Definition, long. Definition, short. What is it? Be careful. Be careful. Don't be like the world. Don't let it be waxed down, you know, in the sense of cut so short that there's this look. Look it up on the internet. Look up butch. Because there are two different styles out there for butch. And it's perverted. And it's had an effect on society. So think about some of those things. Full, yes. It's not a matter necessarily of the length sometimes when it's a matter of being full. My hair, it's short. You can't get too much shorter without a razor. It doesn't have to be that short. But it's clearly a man. That of a man, a male. A woman should be clearly a woman. It doesn't mean it can't be a shorter style or whatever in the sense of, but full in the head, where a man's wouldn't be. There has to be a distinction between a man and a woman, and not something in between. We don't want the in-between stuff. So even in these things, God says, do you honor me? Do you love me? Do you want to honor me and glorify me? And so God is showing us something here that even in the little things in life, that we have to be careful how we think. And this is really what it's all about. Because it's a lot of little things in life that make up our lives. You don't have to wait till the big things happen. The gigantic things that come along and happen. And maybe sometimes in our lives we feel like that's all that's happening to us are the big things. No, there are little things as well in between and so forth. So it's a good thing to teach by. Little things. What are the little things in your life? Well, I've already mentioned one, even about how we speak, about what words we might use that society would think, oh, that's not a bad word. It's okay to talk like that, you know. No, it isn't before God if we want to honor God. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. It's the way God made it. There's something unique and beautiful about the way that God made a woman and something unique and different how God made a man masculine. But if any man seem to be contentious, so if anyone, in other words, wanting to complain, to cause strife over an issue with which they disagree, or has a complaining spirit, man or woman, if anyone, in other words, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. You know, it's not in the church of God. So it's just not that way. It's not the way God's church is. And if that's in our mind, then we're something is happening to us that's wrong spiritually. So the Apostle Paul had to address a lot of carnality with the ways of the Corinthians. That society had a tremendously negative impact on brethren, tremendously so because of Corinth and their history. They resisted what Paul was teaching them because they were resisting the power of God's Spirit to work in their lives. And we don't want to resist. We want to yield ourselves to God. And it has to do with a lot of little things in your life. Don't underestimate. Don't undermine. Don't put too little importance on the little things in your life. They're important. It's all the little things that make up our life. In the way you think throughout the day. In the way you talk throughout the day. As to whether or not it honors God. Honors our head. The point being is it all goes back to God. Whether we honor God. Man or woman. There's a way that God works in our life. And so again here, they didn't grasp the power of society upon their human nature. Corinth didn't. On their pulls and their justification on what they believe was permissible for their own, from their own ideas, if you will, and ways of life. Going on 1 Corinthians 15. So 1 Corinthians 11, is it all about hair? No, 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 no. It's an example of something little and small in our lives, in a sense, that helps teach us some big things about every little thing in our life. Our life is made up of little things that we don't consider to be that important. Yes, they are. Every little thing adds up to make our minds what they are. That makes up the way we think. It truly does. Everything. From the beginning of the day until its end. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. So whatever we receive, that's what we're to stand in, God says. Whatever God gives to us, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And that would be, that's the way it is with all that God gives to us through preaching, through sermons that we hear. He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so they focused on things that in the beginning that were different than things we focus upon now, things that we you know, it's in the world. It's in the Protestant world even. There are certain basic things that are just there, but they don't get it. You know, they don't understand it, what it's all about. We do. We've been blessed in that. Verse 9. He went on to say, it's not the point of the rest of the things in between in this particular sermon. He is addressing some other matters. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Think of what Paul did when he was Saul. Went out to kill. He killed people. He gave his word that people in the church died. Verse 10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And all of us can say amen to that. Only because of God's grace, God's mercy, and the blessing we have of being, especially if we understand being a part of the remnant right now, and how small the remnant is. How blessed we are on this earth to be a part of a remnant at the end of this age. And grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. That's His desire. And we don't want the grace God gives to us to be bestowed upon us in vain. I think of people that leave every year. It's bestowed upon them in vain. Later on, they have an opportunity in the great white throne. "But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." It's amazing how God works with us to mold and fashion us, to teach us. And so there are troubles and battles that the church has always gone through. It's a part of the maturing process. It's a part of how we respond to God. It's a part of how we hear God and whether we are truly desirous to honor God in small things so that we have the ability to in the big things, if we get the picture. And generally, we want to address the big things when they come along. It's too late if we're not addressing the smaller things in our life. It all goes together. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. "Examine," this word means take account of, "test yourselves whether you are in the faith." Prove, and this word means to examine. Prove your own selves. Examine your own selves. You know, we're to look at our lives and say, where do I stand? Where am I? This is a time of repentance. This sermon series is a time of focusing more on repentance in our lives. Every one of us in the church must change more. We must become more refined, seek to become more refined before God as we are thrust into the time in front of us, in the time that's yet remaining, that we have to grow more spiritually so that when we come to that final 3.5 years, when we're not going to have the ability to come together to Sabbath services any longer, when we're not going to be able to hear sermons any longer, whereby God has given to us the ability to grow spiritually, we'll be of a mind and have the ability to continue to hold on, to hang on, and be fed by God during a time when we can't be fed in the normal way. That's a series of sermons in itself. To understand that, brethren, to comprehend what that means, to grasp that of what God is giving to us and putting before us. "Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates," unapproved in other words. That's what it means here. How that Jesus Christ is in you. So either He is or He isn't. And that's why it's so important that we grow and that we repent of sin. And that includes the smaller things of our life that aren't in unity and harmony with God. We want to repent of the things where we're not honoring God. And He's showing that in the smallest of things in life, those are the things that determine your mind and attitude toward God. Are we truly honoring God? How we dress on the Sabbath day to honor God. It's about our relationship between us and God. Because we're coming before God. Is God in the picture? Is God fully in the forefront? And He must be. And so that's attitude of mind. And that has everything to do then with what God can feed us and what God can give to us. Because it's spiritual. See? So don't you desire to be approved of God? Don't we all desire that? Absolutely. But it doesn't come by some kind of magic. It comes by an attitude of mind that we're in control of. Only you are in control of your mind toward God in everything in life. And we need to begin looking at things in our life in every area, and especially the small areas, because they make up everything. They truly do. If you want to see yourself in a relationship with God, look at the little areas of your life throughout the day. See? That reflects where we are spiritually. It's not when the big challenges come along and how you fare. See? Because then we'll deceive ourselves in thinking we're doing good under the big challenge when we're not. Because we can't see it then, because we're blind, asleep. So again, don't you desire to please Him? We all do. We all have that desire. And He's showing us how we can do that. And really for our own good, what we must do, because of what's in front of us, we must become stronger spiritually toward God and our relationship toward Him because of what is in front of us. And if you don't believe what's in front of you, it's because you're asleep. If you don't see what I'm talking about and believe what I'm talking about, it's because you are asleep. And I'd go and pray to God that He'd jar the tar out of you and shake you up with whatever trial you've got to go through to be awakened out of that spiritual sleep. Because if you don't see and don't believe where we are in time, of what you're being told of where we are in time, you're asleep and can't receive it. If you believe it and you see that, you're being sobered by it. You're being sobered and moved by it so that you will take action upon what is being given to you, so which means that you'll be producing, you're going to respond, and there are going to be some changes in your life. There's not a one of us listening to this series of sermons that can't make changes in our life, in many little areas of our life, because that makes up our life, the little areas of life. You can't just determine you're going to deal with the big things when they come along. It isn't how it works with God. It has to do with everything throughout your day. So don't you desire to please Him, faithfully serve Him, eagerly support and back up the one He has placed before you to teach you and lead you in this final era? That should be a unanimous yes. If not, what am I doing here? Anyway. So again, if you've let down the smaller physical things, then you've already let down mightily in the spiritual things, of greater importance even, because if we really get it, they all work together. All the little things of our life, they make us what we are. It's not just the big moments and the big events. It's a way of life. A way of life from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed. Someone once told another member that they shouldn't worry so much about smaller matters of smoking in their life. Don't worry about that. Don't, because that's not one of the big things. You really need to be more concerned about some of the bigger spiritual things. Well, you gave, and if it's more than one, many people, y'all gave the wrong advice. You gave something diametrically opposite of the Spirit of God. You must be concerned about the little things of your life. How determined are you to fight what's in front of you? Do we get the message and understand that we've got a fight ahead of us? And that you've got to draw closer to God right now than more than ever before in your life? If we get the picture, it's from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed that you honor your God in everything you say and do, everything that comes out of your mind and out of your being. Because there are powers out there that are fighting against you, fighting against God, that want to destroy, that would love to see everything destroyed, but they're puny, miserable beings that God is getting ready to shut up for 1,000 years. I look forward to that day when those beings, they have no power over me. Do they have power over you? And the reason I know they don't is because God is my God and Jesus Christ is my Savior, my High Priest, and my life is theirs to the end. See, that's the way we are. And everything else is minor in comparison. See, I look forward to the day those beings are shut up, period. Their mouths, their spirit, and their being. And they have no power over me. They really don't. They've caused misery with mankind for 6,000 years. And I am so glad that God is getting ready to imprison them, to shut their mouths and their spirit, where they can't affect another human being until the very end of that 1,000 years. And then it's just a short window for them, and God uses it in a very powerful way to His greater purpose. Awesome what God does and how God does it. So be right with God. Therein is your strength in your life. And we're at a time right now where we need to draw much closer to Him for what we're getting ready to go into. We're in a process of a final sealing that's taking place. Once that last 3.5 years hits, the sealing of the 144,000 is fully over. We have brothers and sisters who are going to come along yet. You realize that people can be changed. They can come back on track quickly, in a month, in 2 months. They can be spiritually back on track, learn the things they need to learn, be repentant of, receive the mercy and the grace of God, and be fully of the same mind of you and believe what you believe. Do you realize the power of God's Spirit to work in a human being's mind, a human being's life? That's how fast repentance and the power of God is in a human being, with His Spirit, when he awakens and jars someone awake. Say, I've seen it happen. It's been a part of something that encourages me beyond words. That power is going to be stirred up in the world, brother, more and more and more. It's getting stirred up more and more and more. Your strength and your confidence and your only hope is in your relationship with your God and God in you. And the stronger that is and the more powerful that is, that will determine your course over the next 5.5 years. Awesome where we are. Awesome where we are in time. To think we could be there. To think this is it. Everything God has looked forward to the great resurrection of 144,000 and his family, to the end of Satan's control and the demons' control and rule in this world, because they are the ones that God gave for 6,000 years to have rule. Say, they rule. Only in the church, only with those that God has worked with, has that rule not exerted the ability to conquer. God conquers in that case, has been conquering for 6,000 years, then 144,000 people. Yeah. Amazing what God is doing. Incredible what God is doing and where we are in time. I'm so thankful we're there, brother. Just a little bit of time left. Just a little bit of time left, and then we're going to have a very hard time for 3.5 years. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. But God will bring you through it. God will help you to do things and help be a part of something to serve Him in ways that you can't even begin to grasp right now, and helping those who are in captivity, those who are going to be under different control as far as nations are concerned. So again here, going back to a matter of smoking. Giant thing? Hair? Giant thing? Words that come out of our mouth? Giant thing? You put them together, they're giant things. They reflect your attitude of mind. They reflect the way you think. They reflect the way you think toward God. For if the little things of life that we call the little things of life from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, if they're not the big things of our life, we're missing the mark. We don't get it. Or we have been doing a little slumbering and sleeping on the side. And you can't afford to do a little slumbering and sleeping on the side. You need to be stirred up in spirit more than ever before in your life to draw closer to your God, to cry out to God to help you go through what's in front of us. The next 5.5 years are not going to be easy. They're going to become mightily intense, more than your mind can comprehend, on a physical level and on a spiritual level. And the closer you draw to your God, the more inspired, the more awesome it's going to be for what you experience and how you're going to be able to serve and help others to come into a new world, a new age, a new time. It's an exciting time that's in front of us. It's the most exciting time of 6,000 years. We live our lives and we think, oh, they're mundane and we go to work and we do this and that. And they're not. It's not big. Oh, yes, your life is big. But we don't get it sometimes of how big it is. It's a major part of God's plan. It's a major part of God's purpose and what He's doing. What you're living and what you're doing is big in God's plan. How many people out there know what we know? How many people out there see what you're able to see? How blessed are you? Sometimes we don't get how incredible, how awesome this is. What you're living every day of your life is an awesome part of life. We don't think our lives to be all that important. They are if you're yielding yourself to God. They are if you're stirred up in spirit. And God wants us to be stirred up in spirit more, and He's offering that to us, the ability to be stirred up in spirit more than you've ever experienced in your life. Hold on. This is a major time in God's plan. You're going to experience things that so many in the Bible of the 144,000 have never experienced. with the intensity, the magnitude, the importance of where we are now. You're not living in small times. You're not living mundane lives out here in the world. We might think our jobs are like that, but how you live your life spiritually and everything you do, that's what's important. That's what God is looking at. That's what God is working with if we yield ourselves and continue to yield ourselves to what He's molding and fashioning. It's awesome, brethren. It really is. We haven't seen anything yet. There are going to be far greater things happen in the 5.5 years that's in front of us than have ever happened on earth. You live in the most awesome times of all human history. You're going to experience things that no one else has even come close to. Not close. You're going to have the ability to see things that have been prophesied, and all the prophets were focused upon this time, whether they knew it or not, and they knew it's for a time future. This is that time. The end of 6,000 years, just before the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, 144,000 is set up on this earth, where there's only going to be one religion on earth, the true Church of God, where God's Spirit will be able to dwell in every human being on earth. Your mind can't fully grasp that yet, even though you may believe it. Well, hopefully you believe it. That's why we're here. We believe it. But to grasp the intensity and the power of that, we can't yet because we're not there yet. We don't see it yet and how it's going to affect everything in life. We believe it. It's faith. What an awesome thing to be able to have that kind of faith. So again, I want to read this again in my notes. Someone once told another member that they shouldn't worry so much about the smaller matter of smoking in their life, but should rather work on the bigger spiritual things. It works just the opposite. That's what lulls you to sleep. That kind of thinking is what lulls people to sleep. If you don't work on the smaller things, you'll never grasp the bigger things in spirit and in truth. You won't be able to deal with them when they happen in your life. If you don't work on the smaller things in your life, you'll not focus properly upon the spiritual. The reality is because there's a law that you can't, if you understand. The church that's scattered, the church that's asleep, that's the way they think. They don't get it. They can't. They're asleep. So again, be careful in the smaller things as well. We live by this. It's not love toward your neighbor. It's not love towards others around them to have them breathe in that kind of garbage. And you know, it's a smaller thing in life, but it's important. It's just as important as hair. Our lives are made up of a lot of little things. From the moment you get up to the time you go to sleep, it has to do with the way you think. And that's what's important. It's what comes out of your mind. It's what comes out of your mouth. It's how you think. That's what God is concerned with. It's how you think in everything in your life. And our life is made up of many little things. That's why so often, sometimes, we just don't think that what God's doing with us is that important, because look at my life. It's kind of mundane, normal, and everything. Your life is far from normal. Hello? Of all people on earth, to see what you see, to know what you know, to have the great God of the universe and His Son, Jesus Christ, in your mind right now. How incredible is that? Because it's on a spiritual plane. Oh, your life is far from mundane and normal or average. Far, far, far from it. To say that, to think that, is to make God pretty unimportant. Pretty, and fall asleep spiritually because it's just not that exciting. It doesn't stir that much. It just doesn't have that much intensity in my mind, and I'm getting kind of tired. Instead of seeing it for what it is, to be in awe over 6,000 years, how many people has God lived in? If you have been baptized, had hands laid upon you, and God Almighty and Jesus Christ are living in you, in your mind and in your being, how important is that? How awesome is that? Of all human beings on earth, there aren't many who have had that privilege and opportunity. But we've been given that. How valuable, how precious is that to us? Shouldn't we be concerned about every little thing in our life then? Isn't it a shame? Isn't it sick? Isn't it perverted then that we allow ourselves to use filthy language like the world uses? Because, oh, it's not that big a deal. Oh, C-R-A, you know, and use that word. Shame, shame, shame on you. Shame, shame, shame on me. Every word should honor God. Every way we think should honor and please God. God's way should stir us up and move and motivate us. And if it doesn't, then the problem is, look in the mirror. That's where it is. It's inside of us. So it's all the little things that make up what we are and truly reflect the way we think and reflect our true relationship with God. It's not just in the big things. See, we want to look at the big things. That's what the scattered church is doing out there right now. The big things. See, what's that? Feast of Tabernacles, the Sabbath for 2 hours. Tithing, maybe. You know. And after that, they kind of go to sleep. Actually, they're already asleep. That's the problem. They don't get it because they're asleep. Some listening today have some sluggishness and sleeping going on in that's listening out here. See. Ask God to wake you up. Don't fall asleep. On the contrary, now is the time to be stirred up in spirit more than any other time in your life. That's why we're getting ready to fast as a church, because we want to draw closer to God and be thrust into the time that's in front of us so we can draw closer to God, asking God to forgive me of my sins, each one of us doing that personally, so that we don't take the little things in an unimportant way, because it's the little things that make up what you are, who you are before your God. That identifies, that describes you. Isn't that what makes you up? Every little thing in your life is who you are. From the time you wake up to the time you go to bed at night. It truly is. And so is hair important? Is smoking important? Are the words that come out of our mouth, oh, crr, oop, shouldn't use that. Small. Or is it? Everything we do should honor God. That's where our minds need to be more and more and more. We need to clean up our lives, and that's why we're going to fast. Because every one of us have things to repent of. Every one of us. This is not to you, to just without me in this picture. I'm talking to myself as well. Every one of us in different ways have done a little coasting. If you've ever run a race, every one of you have been guilty of it at some race. You just let down a little bit more when you could have put out a whole lot more. But it just wasn't in your mind. Because see, it's in your mind that runs those little legs. You know, and sometimes, I'm just so tired, you know, that's all that cries out. You know, I'm tired of doing it. You know, and we'll relax a little bit, take it easy for a little while. Boy, that's the most dangerous state to be in, mentally, spiritually. So it is with God. So are these little things important? That's the whole point. These are not little things before God. They are you. They are what makes up your being, your mind. It is in everything, every little thing in your life, every moment of your day. How you think, how you speak, what you do makes you what you are. It is you. It's all in your mind. That's what we are, the way we think. That's why God has us zero in on these things that we might consider small and little. Do not call them unimportant, because they are important before God. Take it to the bank. If you're not cognizant of, if you're not watching, if you're not praying about the little things in your life to clean them up, to make them strong, to make them better, you don't have the power nor the strength nor the vision to deal with the big things. That's the opposite of God's law. God's law doesn't work like that. And those who talk that way or think that way don't get it spiritually. It's every little thing in life of your being and of your mind that makes you what you are. So again, if we say something that's contrary to God's law, to God's way, to God, to anything, and some of these things I'm talking about today, if it's opposite of what it should be, such individuals become liars. A spirit of lying is in them. They're lying to themselves and they're lying to others. It is the little things that are important in life. It is what we are. It is who we are. And they commit spiritual idolatry because they lift something else up more important to God. Oh, you don't have to be concerned about that. Oh, that's just a little word. You're worried about using a word like that?
I use bigger words than that.
That's the problem. You're polluted, your mind's polluted, your life's polluted, and you need to clean it up. And we don't get it sometimes spiritually. It's all the little things in life that make life, isn't it? It is, brethren. And such individuals, if we're not careful, we make ourselves judges of what is right or wrong. And that's the most dangerous thing that takes place in life, because it's the little things we tend to judge and think, well, that's not that big. Oh, yes, it is. It's every little thing that makes up what we are. That's who we are. It's the little things of life. It's not the big major events that come along and happen to you. When they come along, if we're not dealing with the little things, we're not going to be able to deal with the big things when they happen. So in the examples we have been addressing in this series, physical things become more important to people rather than the spiritual. It's a matter of our vision. It's a matter of how we see. Do we not grasp that God is concerned with our mind? It is how we think that God is concerned with. That reveals what is the spirit. It reveals something that's deep then within us. It's how you think that reflects how we are responding to Him and making the kind of changes we need to make. It's a matter of God's ways being written in our hearts and minds. We should want that with all of our being. It's a matter of the Spirit. And that's what this is all about. Our minds, how we think, are reflected in the things we do or don't do. What about attitude of mind, contention, judgment? Maybe even on the pastor rather than on judgment on self. Disagreement, perhaps. Oh, brethren, if there's any of that anywhere in the body, we are such as asleep and doesn't even know it. If we don't understand this most basic thing right now of how God is working at this end time, there's no room in God's church for any kind of division or divisiveness or disagreement or lukewarmness or looking down on others because we think we're better. See, that affects everyone's relationship with each other. You can't look down upon anyone else in the body. If someone sins, we should want to see them be able to be helped so that they can come through this. We should hurt inside for them and hope that they're able to see, because they're hurting themselves spiritually. We don't want to see people leave, and yet it's going to happen. It's going to happen until this country falls. In this body, there are going to be some who leave right up to the end because they weren't really with it. They were there, but they weren't with it. And they're not going to be in the 1,000 years, physically or spiritually, if you understand what I'm saying. Because, see, there are those who are going to live on physically in the church of God and continue on in the church in their spiritual lives. There are those who are part of the 144,000. Everyone else who is not in those categories is going to be asleep for 1,000 years, and they're going to be resurrected later on. And they're in the thousands. No, they're in the tens of thousands that were once in our fellowship. On our trip to Europe, I was told how a person was offensive in telling another, one of the brethren, concerning not being able to speak English fluently, that they needed to learn English first before they had fellowship with them. Shame on you. Shame on you for opening your mouth like that. Shame, 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 shame. You know, if you say it to one, the others see it and hear it, you hurt someone, you hurt the body. What a horrible thing to tell someone. Just because they don't speak your language and because the sermons are coming out in a particular language, you need to go learn English first. You can't fellowship with me. Man, blows my mind. Do we not grasp that our minds should be focused in humility, first upon ourselves, judging ourselves rather than outward and judging of others? You know, there are things we have to judge about others, but our desire should be that they come through this, that they're able to see their error, and we pray for them that they be able to repent and be awakened, whatever it takes. I don't care what it takes physically in your life. I don't care how bad it gets in your life. If some of you are having difficulties and you get to a certain point, you know, where you're dangerously walking on the edge, I don't care how bad it gets physically in your life to the point of your last breath. If that's what it takes to awaken you out of a spiritual sleep, I desire that for you. I want you to be together. I want us all to be together in this all the way to the end. What does it take to wake us up? sometimes to shake us and shake us into reality. Whatever it takes, bring it on. Bring it on. It's better that way because I want to be there. I don't want to wake up 1,000 years from now and say, oh, weeping and gnashing of teeth and looking back, what did I do? Look where I could have been. Look what I could have experienced. And I had all this at my feet, and look what I did with it. I think of all the thousands that's going to happen to. See, they don't have a choice in the matter. But you, right now, have a choice in the matter. What an awesome choice. Let's turn over to Isaiah 57. So, do we not grasp that our mind should be focused in humility first upon ourselves, judging ourselves rather than others, you know, with a judgmental attitude? You know, sometimes a judgmental attitude is far worse than the other person who's committing the sin they're committing. Those are some of the most dangerous kinds of attitudes spiritually to our spiritual health. And that we should be seeking unity and agreement, support rather than contention. Rather than divisiveness, we should be seeking oneness through a positive focus on the church, the work, the leadership, and so forth. We should focus on holding a high standard and desire to be pleasing to God. That's why we're mentioning some of the little things in life, because they reflect a standard. Do we have a high standard, or we have been letting down in our homes by ourselves or in our congregations by ourselves? On the contrary, it has everything to do with the mind in lifting up the standard, because it's about God. It's about coming before God. It's about honoring God. It's about serving God, the great God of the universe. How awesomely blessed are we of all people on earth to have such opportunity? Shouldn't that affect everything that we do and how we do it? Yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen, amen. If you understand what I'm saying, so be it before God. How blessed are we? Sometimes we don't grasp what God has given to us. If we resist the refining that God wants to give us, if we refuse to be molded and fashioned by Him as He has determined, then we cannot and will not, or He cannot and will not refine and mold us, brethren, because it just works against the law, the way God is. God will not force Himself upon us. It's not His way. It's a matter of a choice on our part. And how much do we want it? How much do we treasure the pearl of great price? Is that the way we see it? Do we really see it as a matter of wealth? You know, too many of us, we get wrapped up. It's wealth we see that secures us. It's not in what we've been blessed to have that's far, far, far more valuable. This is what it's all about, the church. God's way of life. God doesn't force Himself upon us. It's not His way. But He will let us go our own way so that we can learn the shame of it. What a horrible thing if we have been awakened and have to learn the shame of it more. And I think of those that are going to be resurrected 1,000 years, and they say, and you were able to be with that tithe of the tithe? You were able to be with that group at the end? And you did what? I know what I did, but I that's hard for me to grasp. Yeah, it is a little tough. A lot of shame there, isn't there? A lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth that'll have to be there when it happens. Deep, 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 deep repentance. We've focused upon the following scriptures often that we're going to turn to now in Isaiah 57, and yet it seems that too many simply do not get what God is saying. Sometimes in our life when we let down, when we're not as zealous as we need to be, and we all need to become more zealous. I'm speaking to myself and all these things too. Everything I preach, brother, it's directed to me too. I have to drink in of it. I have to receive what God gives because it's what God gives. He gives it to us all. We all have to grow and desire to be closer to Him. We all have to repent and change. And so don't you want God to mold and fashion you? Absolutely you do. I know you do. I want that for my life. Whatever it takes, I want to be there. I want to see these things through. More than that, I have a confidence knowing I will. Because I know who I am. I know what God has given to me to do. Some are sealed. That's why the attitude is there, and that's why the mind is there. That's why a certain way of thinking is there that will see us through to the end. So whether you're sealed just before it happens or whether you're already sealed right now, there are brethren in the church that are sealed already. There are others of you to be sealed yet. There are others who are going to come along, who are going to be added, who are going to be sealed. Because God knows you. He knows your spirit, just like He told Abraham. I know you. I know you. Amazing, isn't it? So don't you want to have the right kind of attitude in response to God and His ministry so that you can continue to receive the kind of help that's needed so you can grow spiritually? Yes, we do, don't we? Obviously. Yes. Amen to that. So be it. Isaiah 57, verse 11. Isaiah 57, verse 11. And of whom have you been afraid or feared that you have lied and have not remembered me? In other words, have not put God first in decisions that are made, nor laid it to your heart. In other words, but instead have simply done what you wanted to do and lived your own life how you wanted to. You know, I hope very powerfully so as we continue on that we could see mightily the spirit that's in so many of the different scattered groups out there of going through the motions of serving God. It doesn't matter where you are. You can go through the motions of serving God and God not there. We can go through the motions. God must be in us, convicting us. We must be responding to Him in spirit and making the changes. Have not I held my peace even of old, and you have not feared me? Don't we understand, in other words, how God works with us, brethren? I know we do. But see, these are things that God gives to us to stir us up more in spirit, to help us to more deeply understand what's taking place, where we are in time, and the seriousness of the time that's in front of us. Everything is on the line. Everything is there. I'm fully committed. I'm fully committed. I was fully committed when I put the prophet of the God of Abraham. That was a battle. I can't tell you the battle that was. Fully committed, because that's the way it must be. There's no halfway in this. It's either in us or it isn't. If it's not fully in us, then we need to cry out to God to show us what is true, to show us, to help us to know, so we can act upon it with great conviction, with confidence and boldness and power, because it all comes from God. One of the two witnesses, oh, that was a greater battle. Chapter 4 that we've gone through, some of the hardest things I've ever done was to write those words. And I procrastinated and I put it aside and I put it away for time. I had to get it done. I had to go back to it. Amazing how God's Spirit works with us. But it's amazing, too, how we resist. Don't want to do it. It's not comfortable. It's not easy. Do we know who we are? Are we in awe of who we are and what God has given to us and what we have before us? Sometimes we just don't recognize the importance in God's plan of who we are. Because it's a matter of seeing God and seeing Jesus Christ and who they are and what they're doing in the church. And the more we really see that and believe that, we know who we are. We know this is not a small thing that God is doing. As He lives and works in our minds to change us, to convert us, to help us to address the things we need to address in our lives, to repent of the things we need to repent of in order to draw closer to Him and the things we need to draw closer to Him in. Incredible. Don't we understand then how God works with us? Why we're going through this series right now? Giving us opportunity to repent more deeply so we can be thrust into a period in time that's in front of us that is so awesome, so incredible. And you get to see it. There are prophets of old, men of great stature, who would love to have seen your day. And God told them no. He told Daniel, just shut up the book, Daniel. And basically told Daniel to shut up too. Don't dwell on this. Don't go there. Do what you've got to do to change your life. This isn't for you. This isn't for your time. Go on and do what you need to do in your life now. It's not for you. It's for another time. But he wanted it because God gave him a vision to see some things, of certain things that were in front, and he wanted it. And all men of old and women of old, all men and women of old have wanted this. Those are going to be a part of 144,000. That's the way it had to be. It's the only way it can be. And for us to have such opportunity and blessing before us, sometimes we don't grasp the magnitude of it. We just don't grasp how great and how important it is what God's doing with us. It's not the president of the United States. It's not the president of other countries. You can put them all in the same boat. They're not the great of the world. They're not what the world is all about right now. That's going to pass. That isn't where God is. That's not what God is doing. All the mighty intellectuals of the world, the mighty men of stature, the Gates and the others of the world, the Buffets, that isn't what it's all about. It's about us. It's about what God is molding and fashioning in the church. It's what's getting ready to come upon the world scene with great power and glory and might in the God family and the church of God that's alive right now. Of those of you who are baptized with God's Spirit, that get to have the opportunity of being of the foundation of the church that lives on into that new world. We can't grasp all that yet. The closer we are to God, the more we will, the more meaningful, the more inspiring it will be to us. Notice this. God says, I will declare your righteousness and your works, for they shall not profit you. You know, if people resist God, if they don't live the way of God, and this is to those that God gives opportunity. This isn't to the world. This wasn't to Israel. And so to those that God gives opportunity to, and then it's up to us whether we receive it and how we receive it and whether we cherish it and how much we value it. Is it the pearl of great price? Is it really more important than the physical things of our life? Verse 13, when you cry, let your companies deliver you. That's what's going to happen to so many. And I feel inside for them from time to time, brother, when I think about it, when I meditate upon that, because I would be there if it weren't for the mercy and the grace of God, for what God is doing and why God's doing it. And that's God's doing. I'm thankful. But if we don't have feeling and empathy for others who can't have that at this time, they'll be very blessed when the time comes. And they're still far blessed above and beyond others in the world who are going to be resurrected at the same time. If they understand, if we all understand. When you cry, verse 13, let your companies deliver you. In other words, whatever we trust in the past, let that deliver you. You know you need God. Amazing, the human mind. But the wind shall carry them all away, vanity shall take them. But he that puts, in other words, places his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit the holy mountain. And shall say, cast you up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Such an awesome thing. What is the stumbling block? It's our ways, brethren. Our ways, our murmuring, our complaining, our resistance to God, our lack of support to God's ministry, to what God is doing, our divisiveness, our sin, our selfishness, our wrong attitudes. That's the way it is in life. That's the way it is. Everything must come into unity, to subjection to God, to God's rule in our life. Everything. And the things we consider to be the small things, the mundane things. No, it's the lesser things, if we really get it, that are the important things. For they determine our outcome. They truly do. Verse 15. For thus says the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that's of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. That means that God can stir up the spirit of the humble. He can't work with pride. Pride is a stumbling block, and God backs away. When there's pride, it has to be broken. We have to go through whatever in order for it to be broken in our life, because it resists God. Pride is what resists the mind of God, the Spirit of God. But God will work with that which is humble, that which is humbled, because it's a unique spirit and attitude. So, again, to revive the spirit of the humble. We don't presumptuously take authority, in other words, determining right and wrong upon ourselves. Instead, we receive what God tells us, what God gives to us, and we receive that and we believe that. And we don't try to justify different things we do that don't quite fit into the overall picture. We recognize our daily need for God's help in us and how dangerous it is if we're not totally in unity and harmony with Him, and knowing always that there's that battle in coming into greater harmony with Him. We know we're weak and that we need constant help fighting our selfish nature. It's always a battle, day by day by day. It goes on to say, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. In other words, to allow this in the Hebrew, this means to allow oneself, self, to be crushed. I want self, selfishness in me to be crushed. I don't want any of it. I don't want anything that resists God. And yet my nature does, my human nature does. And therein is a battle that Paul talked about that's within us. We've got to fight it. We've got to ask God for help to fight against the wrong thoughts, the wrong thinking, the wrong attitudes in our minds more and more and more. So again, this literally means, in essence, to allow oneself to be crushed, broken. It's the opposite of resisting and seeking to hold on to our way of seeing and doing things. You know, if we hold on to something and we resist what God's giving to us, something we hear in a sermon and we just don't like it, or we... there's a battle going on in our mind. We've got to totally surrender to God. Well, we'll stop there today. There are some other things here in Isaiah as we're going to continue on. But again, as we draw closer to the fast that's coming up in a couple of weeks, it's a matter of understanding we have no future in this world. Of all time, 6,000 years, we're down to the wire now. We're down to the very last bit of it. Everything in our life should be geared toward that. I mean everything. See, some of us are going to wait a little too long in different areas and we're going to suffer a little more because of it. And that's just the way it is. And so the more we can surrender our will to God's will, our own way of thinking to God's thinking, the more we can understand it's the little things that are really the big things. It's all the little things of your life that make up the big things. If we can have that vision from the moment you get up, and the things that come out of your mouth, the things that come out of your mind, the things that come out of your thinking, they are you. And those are the things that God wants us to be refined in more and more and more. And either God is in it or He's not. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So with that, we have one more sermon before the fast on this sermon series. You know, it's exciting, brethren, realizing where we are. It's exciting, but it tries us. It puts us to the test. To be told this is where we are, to believe this is where we are, to throw everything into it that this is where we are, that will determine where we are.